This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for hour number two of the big show. We go till four, then we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz as we continue to entertain you on your work day and your ride home in the early ride home hours of afternoon drive. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. Resetting the table a little bit for you. Jimbo Fisher had his press conference. He is now all in at Texas A&M. He's ready to go. Your Texans, as we mentioned at the start of the show, lost to the Tennessee Titans in very Texans-like fashion as they continue their skid. Your Rockets won last night against the Los Angeles Lakers. If you stayed up for it, if you didn't, it's the same old story. They've now won their last six road games by 15-plus points. They are playing some good basketball. And by the way, I just wanted to mention to you guys, you talk about cushy schedules, and everybody was talking about, well, you know, they're starting the season earlier to try and eliminate the back-to-backs and some of the four games and five nights kind of things. I get that, but really, Rockets, you played last Wednesday, okay? They practiced Thursday. Friday, they left for L.A. They were in L.A. Friday, Saturday, and yesterday. They played the Lakers last night. They are now going to stay in L.A. last night, Monday, Tuesday, and a half day Wednesday before they go to Utah for the second game of this West Coast road swing. If you could stay at the Beverly Wilshire for about 6.5 days, kicking it, and oh, yeah, by the way, working a game against the Lakers on a Sunday night, that's a pretty good life.
Not a bad gig to have.
I mean, the Ackerman and Bullard brought their wives, and I mean, think about that. Chris Paul owned, and James Harden and Trevor Ariza and Bobby Brown and Eric Gordon all own houses
all
in
have
L.A.
ties, yeah. So we got your two biggest stars plus two more players.
The organization does them a favor and says, we'll go to L.A. early. And oh, by the way, we'll stay after the game instead of coming home, going back. But think about that, Bill, for all those days logged at the Beverly Wilshire.
That's got to be not cheap either, right?
Large bill, folks.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not cheap.
I guess they're treating them, because I did hear Craig Ackerman say on the broadcast that this is the second year in a row that the Rockets will have the toughest schedule in December. I don't know if that's true or where he based that out of, but he did mention that on the broadcast. So it's going to be interesting to see what their schedule looks like compared to other, you know,
we are in December,
the top teams.
And they are spending 7 days at the Beverly Wilshire. So as long, I mean, they could play the Cavaliers six straight road games, and it could be tough that way. But it ain't tough when you're kicking it in a 5-star-plus hotel in Beverly Hills for all that time. That's pretty laid back as opposed to
do you know that
to
hotel? Do you
past.
Wish you were there?
Oh, my God, I've been there. It is phenomenal.
It sounds like a really nice hotel.
Oh, it is. Everything and more. And they treat you like, you know, you're all kings and queens. And that's the one that I told you guys when I forget who it was now. I'll think of it. But the one that it was right before the American Music Awards when we were staying there in the playoffs, and he had three of his luxury sports cars parked out front for him and his family, I guess, while he was staying there getting ready for the AMAs. And the valet guy said, yeah, each one of those cars is worth between, I think it was something like $750,000 and a couple mil.
Was it a rapper?
One was a McLaren. Mm. I'll
Wiz
think of it.
Wiz Khalifa?
It was Wiz Khalifa, because every license plate was Wiz something.
Mm.
Yeah, it was
that's,
Wiz
that
Khalifa.
That seems like a crazy amount of money to spend on cars.
It was stupid.
I can't wait to read the story how Wiz Khalifa's broke when he's 50 or 60. Yeah.
And trying to auction off a McLaren that used to be worth a lot of money.
He's making the money right now, so until he
is he though?
Cools down.
Are these rappers? I've been fascinated by that, because you see these rappers with all this money, and I feel like the game has changed from a sales perspective. Because back in the day, the only way to get an NWA album, to get a Public Enemy album, was to go down to Sam Goody or Cactus Records or whatever record store and buy the cassette or the actual album,
right?
And then Napster came around and pissed everybody off, because you could get it all for free. So they lost a lot of sales. But then now, if Wiz Khalifa has one good song, I don't spend 10, 12, 15 bucks on an album. I spend 99 cents on the song, and then iTunes, I move it along.
Forever. Yeah.
So I don't understand how these guys are actually making more money than they used to, because you used to have to buy the whole album or the cassette or the single for $4.99.
Yeah, I remember all that. And you're right. And here's the thing, though. You got to believe that if the game is changing, that the agents have to change too, so that they get more of the gates from concerts, that they get more of the percentages from each album. Yeah, because, you know, it used to be, and you've seen all these behind the musics and all the stories on all the different entertainers throughout the years, your first couple albums, you're at the mercy of the record label. You are basically still going paycheck to paycheck while they are collecting it hand over fist. And then if you have longevity, you can either spin off into a new deal or go to a different company and get a better deal with competition. But yeah, right off the top, it was
You got to pay all the royalties. Now, rappers a lot of times will get money as the performing artist, but they also get money as a writer, which is where a lot of the money comes from, is writing the songs
or like collaborating.
So they'll get more of the dollar that everybody's spending than just whatever cut a normal performing artist would get. But yeah, I've always wondered how those guys make money. Somebody called me out on the text line. Surprise, surprise. They said, Barry, last week you said, I don't know if it's last week or week, but they said that you said the winner of the Big Ten should get in. And that's true, but I think I said it in the context of if Auburn wins, if Clemson wins, if if Wisconsin wins, then yes, Wisconsin runs the table. They should get in. Do I think that the Big Ten championship should get in? Sure. I wouldn't have a problem if Ohio State was the one in and Alabama was out. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But I can see the argument and I can see the case where if you asked me to bet money, if Alabama and Ohio State was a play-in game, who would I have? I would bet on Bama because I think Bama's the better team. Now, do I think that there should be stock put in the conference championships? Yeah, that's why I've been saying for years now, ever since they went to this top four teams, after the first year, I was like, why not just make it, if you're going to go a Power Five conferences, give every conference champion a spot in the playoffs and an at-large from a non-Power Five conference school like UCF. And that way, you know what? You know what the clear-cut goals are. You know what the requirements are to get in. It's not left up to interpretation. It means win your conference. And if you're UCF or whoever else that's not in a Power 5 conference, have a good season and win your conference and go undefeated, and you can be in that top six.
I mean, we talked
give
about
one
it,
and two a bye, 3-6 play. To me, that makes the most sense.
But I do remember, because you and I were talking about it maybe even the week before, and you said if Ohio State wins the Big Ten championship, that there'd be a possibility there would be no Big Ten representative. Yeah. I think you and I were both talking about that, too.
Pretty
so
sure
we
that
did
was the case.
Bring both perspectives. I have no problem. I'm actually okay. I think I actually would have a problem with Ohio State getting in. I just can't get over the loss to Iowa.
Huge. Yeah, they got thumped. They got owned in that
game. I have a huge issue with that loss.
But here's the thing, Barry. I mean, look, and it's not just the text messages, because I caught it too. And I was the first one to say that I said the Saints were going to lose 3 of 4. Now, they should have lost to the Redskins, but they didn't.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah,
and they won yesterday. So I was getting the tweets. And I said, you know what? I stuck my neck out. I went out on a limb and I made a prediction. And guess what? I was wrong. I'm still going to wake up on Monday morning and feel just fine. And I'm still going to go on with the rest of my life. But that's what I saw happening. And, oh, by the way, they still have a really tough road to hoe before you can say that they're a playoff team or a division champion. But, hey, hats off to them because they won, and they could actually go 2-2 or 3-1 out of the four games. We'll see what happens next week. But, of course, I actually got at least one listener to say, I just like giving you and Barry a hard time whenever you're wrong, but I appreciate the fact that you guys are wrong. I said, that's the best answer ever. But for Ohio State fans that are giving me hell, too, I was like, look, I predicted that this would happen at this very game by this very team to Wisconsin, and that was where the fairy tale was going to end. So I knew it was going to happen. So I got that one right. I didn't think a whole lot of people jumped on Twitter to tell me that, but that's the case, too. And then, by the way, in case you watched the game like Nick was, I do want to throw out there on the final drive when Wisconsin was going to either win the game or tie the game that aside from the penalty that was called on Wisconsin, there was also blatant pass interference that would have made it offsetting penalties and reset the down instead of setting Wisconsin back to the point where they couldn't get the first down. But that's neither here nor there, and I'm not bitter. I'm just throwing it out.
Your W's showing.
Yeah. My dub was peeking out of my trousers there, but I'm just
showing.
Letting you know.
Because you could make a case – if Auburn would have won their conference, if Auburn would have beaten Georgia, then Auburn's in. I think we all agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
So you'd have a two-loss conference champion in. And you can talk about getting thumped by Iowa. That's fine. I get it. Iowa's not great. Auburn had the loss against LSU, and then I forget who their other loss was, but it wasn't a bad loss. It was Clemson. They lost to Clemson. So I get that. That's fine. But it's still two losses. And so – you could you can see the theory behind having a two-loss conference champion in, but I feel like at the end of the day, whether I think that the conference champion should get in or not from the Big Ten, the fact that Ohio State won doesn't carry as much cachet in that regard as opposed to an undefeated Wisconsin having won the Big Ten and moving in because of the Iowa loss. I think that that's just what's holding them back. I could see the case. If we would have woke up this morning and Ohio State was in, I would be on here backing that decision.
I'm fine with it either way.
Because you know what? Alabama, if you really want to get in, win your conference. Win the SEC. You didn't, and that's your bad.
How many times have I said to you during the course of when we get ready for the college football season to start, too, losses at the start of the season are so much easier to overcome and be forgotten about than they are late in the season, and Alabama was undefeated. Look, credit to them. They were running the table, and that late season loss is the one that's going to kick you in most cases. This year, it didn't, but normally those late season losses hurt more, and the fact that Iowa was ranked at one point, they weren't when they beat Ohio State either, and that's the other thing that's so tricky.
Yeah, because Florida State. I mean, you're going to put stock
exactly.
in that win.
Alabama's putting garbage. A whole hell of a lot of stock with the fact that when they played them, though, they were in the top three.
Yeah, I mean, Bama's. Give me Bama's best win of the year. Was it Florida State?
Probably LSU. Honestly,
that's their best win.
Probably their best. LSU was probably. Well, I remember
because you can't say Mississippi State because as good of a team they were owning Alabama for about 3.5 quarters.
They almost lost that game.
Right.
They almost lost the Mississippi State game. They lost to Auburn. Their best win is against a garbage Florida State team.
Didn't see Georgia during they
or
the
or maybe LSU.
I still put more weight in a quality loss. Like if you lose to a sorry team, at least you beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you're Alabama, at least you're beating the teams you're supposed to be.
I think quality losses, no offense, but I think quality losses are a silly thing because you lost. Whether you lost by one or you lost by 50, you lost the game.
Well, I mean, the type of loss, like you losing to Iowa by 30.
I know you're
agree.
Passionate
losing
about
to
all
Iowa
that.
By 30 versus losing to Clemson by one is completely different. I do agree with you on that.
And I know you're passionate about that, so I just let you go on that one. I didn't want to interrupt the flow, but I agree with you. The Iowa loss is what's killing them. If you substitute that Iowa loss for a loss to Penn State and it was a close game.
Hell, if they lost to Michigan by one instead.
It would have been a lot different. Right. But because it was a team that ended up being a fairly mediocre team and they got thumped, I don't think anybody could erase that from their memory banks when the decision was made.
But I will say this. At the end of the day, I think the committee has the top four best teams in the country in the playoffs.
I think if you go pound for pound just on talent and everything else, I would agree.
And I'd be willing to bet you, and I haven't looked, but I know that Bama was the favorite when it first got announced at 35% to win the national title.
Yeah, that's what someone said this morning. Unbelievably, they squeaked in, and they're the favorite to win it all.
That tells you something.
So you know how much talent's there, and we've talked about that. Their backups are 5 stars. All right, running a little late for a break, so we're going to get out of here, take a break, come back with a whole lot more. If you want to join the show, the lines are open, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter. Back with more, it's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Back for more of the Usual Suspects. As we continue to roll on. I'm not sure what you got going on in there, Nick, that you were yelling.
Well, I'm just trying to aggravate Barry.
Because he knows I hate this song. Because it's a stupid-ass song.
Mick, play this again next break, please.
In and Out.
Who is this?
The entire show. Future.
Young Uzi with Boat, whatever.
Lil Boat.
Lil Uzi Boat. I don't
whoever
know
it is, if they're collaborating.
Lil Uzi Vert.
Paid.
That's what you're talking about, right?
No, there's
that's your man. That's you actually like that song.
Young Yachty, Uzi, Boat, Bert. I don't know. These are the dumbest names I've ever. I thought Flavor Flav was dumb back in the day. This is so Lil Uzi Vert. I'm old. God, I'm old. I'm over here bitching about rapper names.
Do you think that Flavor Flav actually created the turnover chain when he was wearing the big clock? It's possible.
I don't know.
Because people were wondering what the hell he was doing with the big clock back in the day. He could have just said it was my turnover chain.
Foul points. Thank you to Joshua Salipak. He sent us some different things on Twitter. One of them is the Vegas rankings. It's pretty interesting. Here's how, according to RJ Bell, who tweeted this out, this is how Vegas has college football teams ranked from 1 to 10 in order, starting at number 1, Alabama, number 2, Clemson, 3, Oklahoma, and 4, Ohio State. And this is according to Vegas, who usually gets it right. 5, Georgia, 6, Auburn, 7, USC. 8 Penn State, 9 Wisconsin, 10 Washington.
I did feel like the college football committee kind of softened the blow when they put the two Big Ten teams right outside the top four. You had, I think, Ohio State at number 5 and Wisconsin number 6.
What I find interesting is that...
Pre-Big Ten championship?
No, after, post, yeah. After, yeah.
Post, yeah. Just yeah, because it does, Ohio State and Wisconsin? Yeah.
Was 5 and 6 yeah. after the championship right. game, the conference championship games were over.
What I find interesting is Auburn beats Alabama straight up. And they have them 6th. I found that to be a bit interesting. And obviously they have Georgia ahead of Auburn, even though those teams split, which is also interesting, which is something I was thinking about. You know, we talk about the big loss to Iowa. Do you think if Ohio State played Iowa again right now that they would beat them?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You look at Georgia and Auburn, that first game between the two teams wasn't that close. The second game wasn't that close, but they end up splitting them for the season. So you just... It's almost like this. There's just obviously no exact science to this because from week to week, a team could come out and lose to Iowa, and then win the Big Ten, and look bad doing it.
And Ohio State was not the typical Ohio State like team. You have they were Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
The week after that bad loss to Iowa, they thumped the snot out of Michigan State by the biggest loss the Spartans have taken, I think, in something like 40, 50 years. So
look what they did to Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, and Penn State at the time was what, top 3?
2.
Oh, there you go.
Penn State was, I think, number 2 in the country. They beat the number 4 Wisconsin.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, it's such an inexact science, and they've tried formulas using computers with very little human input. Now it's all human input and eye test and very little formula. And that's why I keep lobbying for it. Whether you want 8, I've always said 6. I think that's plenty, and you can add later if you feel like. Because that's the thing is, nothing's ever going to be, you know, especially right now when they're trying these things. Start off with 6 and go from there. But, I mean, every conference champion and an at-large would be, then you know, clear cut. If you're Alabama, you can't lose the conference. You just can't. If you want to be in, win your conference. Otherwise, that's it. And it takes the guesswork. It takes the formula out. It takes everything out. Does it mean that some good teams are out? Yeah, but you know what? Win your conference. That's it. That's the bottom line. Win your conference, and you get to play in the playoffs.
RJ Bell also, as Josh, who's a Buckeye, by the way, included the title odds for the teams. Alabama plus 250 leads it. Clemson plus 300. Oklahoma plus 400. Georgia plus 450. I think they're sleeping a little bit on Oklahoma. I think Baker Mayfield can be Baker Mayfield, they're going to score points on anybody. I mean, it starts with defense. That's why I think Clemson's defense, as healthy as they are as opposed to Alabama too, Clemson's defense has a shot. But, man, Alabama, remember now, their linebacking core was depleted. They've had a lot of injuries too. And I don't think that they've thrown the ball nearly the way they expected to throw the ball this year. But I think the one thing that you know of, whether Oklahoma's defense shows up or not, you know they're going to put up points, and you know Baker Mayfield's going to sling it around.
Yeah, I worry a little bit about all these teams having to face Alabama's defense, and I think that's where that's probably why they're ranked. I mean, don't get me wrong, they can put up some points, but that defense.
But I'm telling you, their linebackers are depleted. They lost a couple guys for the year. There's a lot of guys with injuries, including Fitzpatrick, who's been dealing with some leg injuries. You know, you got to kind of factor that in as well. But look, I like the fact
they're 3 deep everywhere, though.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. They're I said that 3 with a segment deep everywhere. 5-star recruits, even as backups, that end up playing in the NFL when they're done, whether they started at Alabama or not, or they maybe start their senior year.
It's going to be fun. I cannot wait. I'm super excited about watching these games. I really am.
And I was telling you, the bowl games, the matchups are coming through. And because of like where everything is being played, there's some great matchups all across the board. You know, Miami's playing Wisconsin. I was looking at that one. But the fact that USC and Ohio State both yesterday thought they were going to the Rose Bowl, but the Rose Bowl is one of those semifinal games. So they're going to play in the Cotton Bowl.
That's a weird
Isn't
Cotton
that weird?
Bowl.
Yeah.
I always feel like there should be a team from the South, from like Texas or I don't know. That just seems weird. But
And the Houston Bowl is the return of Tom Herman. As Tom Herman and the Longhorns are coming to Houston for the, I guess they call it the Texas Bowl.
Yeah, it's the Texas Bowl
now.
Yeah,
the Texas Bowl, but it's Texas against Missouri as Tom Herman returns to the stomping grounds.
Texas versus Missouri, huh?
Yeah.
They just couldn't pull it. Where did the Aggies end up? Do we know what bowl they ended up in?
I don't know, but your Cougs, Nick, are going to Hawaii, and I'm telling you, that's a sweet deal. If you're going to go to a bowl game and your game is kind of irrelevant anyway, might as well make a vacation out of it, get to go to Hawaii for Christmas.
Yeah, where'd you see all these bowl games at? Because I haven't seen the list yet.
I was watching them on the crawl on ESPN.
But yeah, I was talking to Kirsten about it, and she was telling me about the packages that they have for Cougs the that want to go. Yeah. $1,800.
What?
$1,895 for the flight, hotel, and two tickets. And you know there's going to be two sorry tickets and a sorry hotel.
No, you know why? Because they never sell that game out over there.
Really?
Yeah. It's all about being in Hawaii and everything, but it's a huge stadium, and there's tons of tickets.
I don't know.
Yeah, whenever you get the aerials and you get the wide shots during that game.
So why are they charging so much?
Because they can. Because they're making a month. They're going to make profit.
Oh, my God.
What?
A&M is playing Wake Forest in the Belk Bowl.
Some of the names of these bowl games, every time I see that,
it reminds me of Shock one time. He was like, what the hell's a Belk? Exactly. What the hell is a Belk? What the Belk Bowl? Really, Ags? I bet Jimbo Fisher's like, look, I didn't sign up for this crap.
Do you have all the bowls? Because there's bowl games worse than that.
Yeah. No, don't trust me. There's the...
I always thought the Meineke Car Care Bowl was always a bad one.
No, no. There's the sweet-ass DXL Frisco Bowl. Louisiana Tech and SMU in Frisco, Texas.
Everyone's flocking to that game.
There's the Tart... Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
I'm watching that one.
There you go.
I can't wait to see Akron take on Florida Atlantic in the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Yeah, he did what he was supposed to do. He got Florida Atlantic back to prominence.
The Raycom Media Camellia Bowl is Middle Tennessee versus Arkansas State. Jeez.
Unreal. All right, we got college football out of the way, and if you want to keep talking about it, you can give us a call, 713-780-3776. But we've got much more to get to. We've got NFL and a weekend that was, including a game last night that took place that was a little bit interesting to watch between Seattle and Philadelphia. We've also got NBA that we can talk about and lots of other things. Something on your mind, you want to join the show, please do, 713-780-3776. Hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Back on the Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on out of the halftime break. 90 in the rearview mirror, 90 in the windshield as we continue to roll on. Barry, what's on your mind?
Somebody tweeted us, and you know, we do take some heat sometimes. Mm-hmm. But then every once in a while, we get some love. And shout out to Chuck Wilson, man. Thank you for the love on Twitter. He said, you guys are idiots. Alabama almost lost to Mississippi State and did lose to Auburn and also scheduled Mercer in November. So I just replied and said, thank you for the kind words, Chuck. Also, Chuck, if you would have listened, that's already been mentioned.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
That's right. But yeah,
Thank you, Nick. Well said.
We mentioned that, like, not 10 minutes ago, that you know.
I don't know if he's an OSU fan, but.
I think I've mentioned it probably 10 times since the Mississippi State game. But I keep bringing up the fact that Alabama, in fact, I'm pretty sure I was the one that said Alabama could lose to Auburn because they were vulnerable, and they showed that against Mississippi State. So again, Chuck, we appreciate the kind words. Just keep actually listening.
I think, Barry, what you're missing here is the correlation between listening with your ears as opposed to other part of the anatomy. If you listen with your ass, you're not going to get the information out that you're hoping to reach the audience with. So some people, it's their listening, not what you're saying. That's where the problem lies.
I think people just hear what they want to hear, right?
I think that's what it was, especially if that's an OSU fan.
Yeah,
he's not even going to hear that because you're the one who pointed out the fact that their best win was LSU, and I remember that because I mentioned that on the show.
Yeah,
but you were the one who pointed it out, and it wouldn't matter if he was an OSU fan.
They don't care.
I guarantee you.
Josh said y'all nailed it as a Buckeye. I truly don't know which team's showing up from week to week. I thought I did. And that just set me up for a good surprise or a bad one. Damn you, Iowa. Yeah. Mark said, hip-hop has been horrible since 2005. Everyone says Kanye is the greatest of all time. I guarantee Biggie and Tupac would put his ass in his place. Now we have rappers named Lil Pump and Lil Windex. Wait, is there really a Lil Windex?
That'd be hilarious. If there's not, I want to claim that name right now.
Lil Windex?
Because you clean the glass.
Yeah.
Lil Windex. Lil Peep?
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. Lil Peep.
Yeah.
Which is
a tattooed face.
Which
and all
is
that.
An Easter candy.
The peeps are, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Little peep. Little Windex is pretty sweet. Could you just imagine, like, they're the clean house boys? It's like Little Windex and Little Lysol.
I got to make sure there's nobody named Little Windex.
Right. Check Little Windex.
It says Little Windex net worth. Hold on.
What? Is there really
Lil a Windex little... Twitter handle? Hold on.
No, there's really a Little Windex?
Holy oh my God. Crap. There's a Little Windex out there.
You got a Little Windex's.
He's got a massive following.
Nick, for the love of God, find a Little Windex song and play it. Oh my God. There's actually a Little Windex.
Canadian.
He's Canadian? Well, that explains
What's
everything.
What's his net worth? This has got to be.
I don't know. I just, when I searched at home, net.
And his homie scrubbing bubbles. What? It's, oh my God. This is out
it doesn't
of control.
Happen, but yeah. There's a Little Windex out there. Follow Windex. Him on Twitter. At Lil, he needs you because 744 followers.
Oh
yeah.
God.
He's hurting.
My buddy Connor said, great show, guys. Longtime listener. You're both stupid jerks. Thanks, Connor. Oh,
appreciate that. We resemble that remark. So breaking news of the day, too. Rob Gronkowski, in case you missed it, for a really dirty and unnecessary hit in the Bills game yesterday, got hit with a one-game suspension.
And rightfully so.
Absolutely.
I don't understand why he did it. I didn't watch the game. Was there a reason? Was there a cheap shot that he endured?
He said he was
before?
Frustrated. He said after the game that essentially the guy that picked it off, there was some contact. He really felt like he wasn't getting those kind of calls for contact. Yet when the pick happened, there was contact. He took it out on the guy. He said he apologized. The Bills were saying apology or not. It was dirty. It was unnecessary. He deserves some kind of punishment. He got it. We got a one-game suspension. And the game was basically, one already well out of hand. The Bills were going to lose, and the Patriots were in control of the entire game. But he was frustrated.
You just can't do that.
No, you can't. And you can't pick up a flag and throw it in the
stands.
You
could have injured the dude. I don't know. Is he in the concussion protocol now?
Is he
going to miss any games?
They said that. They said that the player he hit is in the protocol.
Do they lose money for being in the concussion protocol? No. Like, do they not get a game check or anything?
No. You're covered for that.
Okay. I was going to say, if there's something negative, some sort
That's
of financial.
I would have never known that.
Yeah. If there's some sort of financial ramifications that comes from that kid having to miss, it should come out of Gronk's check.
But Tre'Davious White is going to be arguably the defensive rookie of the year. He's up for it. He's having a hell of a year. He got another interception. He was at one point, I don't know if he still is, but he was leading the league in interceptions. And I mean, he gets the pick. He's laying face down. He's on the out of bounds white stripe, knowing that he's supposedly like in a safe area.
And even
Gronk
if he wasn't
takes,
a Patriot,
like a WWE flying drop on his head and shoulder.
And even if he wasn't on the line, a Patriot touched him before he made that jump. Like he touched his shoulder, so he was down regardless. Even if he wasn't on the line, so that's what made it even worse because you can clearly see that in the replay.
And evidently, Gronk wasn't extremely honest with the fact that he was apologetic and admitted that he did it because he's going to appeal the penalty.
He shouldn't.
He should.
Do the right thing and just be like, I screwed up.
Just be like, admit it and walk away. But instead, he's appealing, and that's just going to be another Patriots appeal?
What?
Come on.
Okay, I know I wanted to move on, but Chuck has responded after calling us idiots. This is Chuck's response, and all I could reply with was, ha, 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 ha. He said, Chuck, you better be trolling, bro.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
They don't deserve being number four. UCF went 12-0 and deserves a shot in front of Alabama.
I award you no points.
UCF.
He responded that way to you?
Oh, Chuck, you win. You win troll of the week. Good Lord. And we're the idiots. Really? All right.
Do you want to reread Joshua's tweet that basically summed up that we nailed it? No?
Too funny. Lenny said, I'm claiming Lil Fabuloso right now. That's awesome.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's really good. We got to start coming up with our rapper cleaner names.
Little Germaphobe.
Little Germaphobe? Yeah. That's nice. Look, old school Chris. Oh, Lil Windex is homie scrubbing bubbles. Ha, classic, no pun intended. Wait a minute.
See what
jerk.
He did there?
How you jerk? What is that? Don't be using that against me, sir.
You could be Lil Purell.
I like that one better.
What?
Lil Purell. I can't even
Lil
say
perp.
It.
Lil Perp.
Lil Purell.
Perp Purell.
I like that.
There you go.
Lil Uzi Purell.
Yeah.
What the? What? I almost cussed.
I know. what are you so mad about? What?
What is an Uzi vert? What is the vert from? I know what an Uzi is. Why the vert? What am I missing? What am I too old to understand? What's a vert?
I just learned he was in that Bad and Bougie song, too, with Migos. I had no idea.
Why are you also not playing any Lil Windex on the way out? Oh, are you going to play some Coming Back?
I found one, but it wasn't clean.
Clean it up. I want to hear some Lil Windex on the way back in.
Yeah, and ironically, the name of the song is called Joel's Cleaning It Up.
Is it really? Yeah. You got to clean up Lil Windex, the song called Cleaning It Up?
No streaks. Come on,
that's
man.
That's great.
All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Leave it where it is. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Continue to move and shake and move on a Monday. We had Charlie Palillo from 1:30 to 2. If you're interested in that, go check the podcast. You're a little upset that Lil Lysol was recommended and taking your name.
It's like no one listens to me. It's like you guys are just out here.
I didn't say it on air.
I appreciate people following,
he's gonna
following
bring it up.
The lead.
Lil Windex. No, here we go.
I'm tired of being the scapegoat for you guys, too.
Lil Lysol. Well, you don't listen. Either
you
that
just
or you guys
that.
Are just stepping
just
over my jokes.
You just figured it out. I don't listen.
I know. Connor Hogan wants to be known as Lil Googon.
Oh, man. I'm not sure you want that moniker.
Oh, my goodness. That's some funny
He's
stuff.
He's trying to be hard in the rap game.
I'm headed for an oil change, so how about Lil Pennzoil? It'll happen. If there's a Lil Windex, which, by the way, a couple of people were tweeting us videos of Lil Windex, just kill me now. Please tell me that's fake. That and Chuck Wilson tweeting the show has to be fake.
The fact that dude at least owned up and gave you his full name.
Oh, yeah, but his Twitter handle's like, I don't think it's...
It's on Twitter. I thought it was a text message.
No, it was Twitter. I think it's probably a troll account.
Okay.
But, yeah. Lil Windex. I feel like this whole show is now just a farce. Can't believe that's
Super.
Real.
Is this it? This is Lil Windex?
Yeah, we're going to pray this is a clean version.
It's the best rapper alive right now. And that me.
What is that?
Remember that name. I'm on a block with a couple goons. Couple blocks, couple knots. Oh, this dog got me iced out. I got a nice whip, nice house.
Yeah, that's terrible.
It's awful. It was produced in his bedroom, right?
I have no idea.
No, I'm just kidding. It's just terrible.
Yeah, that's not good.
You look bothered just listening to it. I'll put it down if it's bothering you that much.
I'm amazed that this is what, like, the beat's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying things doesn't sound like I'm crying. Everybody says stop rapping, stop lying. Like, what is he doing? He just sounds like he's about to cry.
Let's keep going.
He sounds like he's about to, like.
We could do this.
Sounds like he got his feelings hurt. This is a millennial rapper, right? He got his feelings hurt.
He's got to be in his early 20s.
He's got the followers, though.
Oh, Chris Shelton said Vert is long for convertible. So Lil Uzi convertible?
Is long for convertible?
Yeah, I think he meant short. It's slang for convertible.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Lil Uzi convertible? What?
You want to run that back for you?
No, this goes back to like... I remember listening, and I brought this group up the other day, but I remember listening to a group called Poor Righteous Teachers coming up, which I really liked. And they had one member of the group was called Culture Freedom. The other one was called Wise Intelligent. And I was like, those are kind of dumb rap names. Love the music, dumb rap names. Those look like geniuses now compared to Lil Windex.
Did they go by PRT?
They did. Okay. PRT.
That's probably an easier name to remember.
Poor Righteous Teachers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to bring it up, Barry.
Okay.
But you were Boom Boom.
Yeah.
Lil Windex or Boom Boom, which is the worst
Boom
hip-hop
Boom.
Name.
In fact, All Texting No Tweeting said that was his favorite rap name of all time. Boom Boom. I should have been Lil Boom Boom.
You would have made so much more money. All you had to do is put an L-I-L in before it.
Boom Boom was an amazing rap name. I don't know where what you're trying to imply, sir.
Just saying. Windex, Boom Boom.
Vert.
little boom boom vert.
You know, and then you put a La on it, you know, like lots of other rap names and songs from all kinds of music. Lavert could be pretty good.
That's already you.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I was saying.
Oh.
Gerald Lavert made some money.
Yeah. I can't believe you brought up Boom Boom and tried to make it sound like it was as bad as Lil Wayne.
Yes, he did.
Listen, you ass.
It's just been one of those days.
Lil Boom Boom was
popping.
Dude, I wish I could remember any of my lyrics. I would flow right now.
You just did
something. What my name? No. That voice said that's the worst.
I've heard you flow. It's good. I don't know if your name was Boom Boom in that track that you let me listen to in your truck that one day. I don't know if that was your official title at the time, but you did let me listen to one of your tracks.
Was that pre-boom?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Was that pre-boom boom or post-boom boom?
I just let you listen to the beats, though, not the...
No, you rapped.
Oh, that was the Honey Badger anthem, wasn't it?
Might have been.
Yeah.
Have we played that?
That was going to be your first single, wasn't it?
You better find the clean version because it says the S word about every other word.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you have to email the John, to
they used to play it on the Blitz all the time. Oh, okay. There's a clean version floating around somewhere.
Okay.
But I know it got up to like, it might be closing in on 200,000 views on YouTube. Me and Wiz Khalifa.
A video?
Yeah. Me and Wiz Khalifa. He's got like, somebody said he's got like 4.5 billion views on YouTube. I'm pretty close. 200,000.
Still nothing to sneeze at.
I'm gaining on him.
You're no little Windex yet. You're climbing.
I'm a little
You're
Windex.
Cleaning the windows as you go.
The little Windex only has, what, 3,748 views on the clean version.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the dirty
so
version?
So I'm killing little Windex. I'm mopping the floor with little Windex.
The official video.
All right.
Saw what you did there.
Dad joke.
4.8 million. Clean. Never mind.
Yeah.
Huh?
4.8 million on the
official video. On the dirty version?
Video. That's what I said, on the dirty version.
So it's still
yeah.
close. Boom Boom is closing in on Lil Windex. 4.8 million people listening to that stupid-ass song?
Yep. Twice.
I'm telling you, our country's going to hell.
Other breaking news of the day, by the way, James Harden, player of the week yet again, third time this year, 16th time of his career. As we continue to say, he is the early leader for MVP, or should be because of the numbers he's putting up. But he's killing it, so is the team, as they won again last night, beat the Lakers. And LaVar Ball... Two bits of news that, Barry, I'm sure you're extraordinarily pleased with, both concerning LaVar Ball. One, there is a new LaVar Ball rule that is being implemented at the Staples Center. That being, no media is allowed to congregate in sections of the building or in ticketed areas in which family and friends sit for Laker games, basically saying, don't follow the guy around looking for sound bites and or... selfies. He has supposedly had a long line after games to have people have selfies with him.
Jesus.
And you know who was upset about this rule, Nick? Ramona Shelburne, who said that she takes pride and enjoys the ability to get to know the player's family and friends so that she can draw more of a connection to the players over the years. She doesn't like the rule.
Yeah, well, she covers a lot in the NBA. I mean...
You didn't have to say the NBA, but, you know.
Yeah, well... But, I mean, I was telling you before the show, man, like, I could see why media members just hover around him because anything he says, even if it's not controversial, brings traction for him. But I can see how that got out of hand pretty quickly, too. So.
And it's funny you mentioned controversy because now there will be more coming from the whole Sun steals along with two other players while on the Far East trip. It's now going to get even worse for the Ball family because now he has pulled his son out of UCLA after the fiasco that was the suspension surrounding the stealing of the sunglasses.
Where's he going?
Home.
So he's not going to go to college?
Because he's already homeschooling the youngest one, but I don't know. I just know that he's not going to UCLA anymore, and LaVar Ball pulled him out.
So it doesn't say, though, if he has plans to
it
transfer?
Does not. The article was on TMZ Sports, said he's pulled him out, does not say what he's going to do, where he's going to go.
Well, I don't know. I just hate talking about him, but he's like the, does anybody really care where he goes? He's not going to play in the NBA. He's not that good, right?
See, I've heard...
I mean, we have the
I've
one
heard,
ball in the
I've
NBA.
I've heard different opinions. I heard he was the most talented and physically ready to play on the next level of the three boys. And then I've also heard conflicting reports that say he's the least talented of the three. So I don't know which to believe because we haven't seen him play yet.
I actually think Lonzo will be a good player. He will be an okay player in the NBA. I don't think he's not as good as his father makes him out to be. But I think
his father says
he's as good as Steph Curry.
I think he sees the floor actually pretty well. I think a part of the problem with the Lakers, because he actually did okay against the Warriors. I was watching that game, mm-hmm. and this is the second time I've seen him play, this time against the Rockets. He actually sees the ball a lot. I feel like he passes up on shots too much. I mean, he could have. He's probably passed on 5 shots behind the 3-point line.
Do you
line.
Think that's a confidence thing, though?
100%.
And a conscience thing.
And it's
thing.
The teammates.
He knows people are watching, and the minute, especially if it doesn't go in, people are going to be all over how ugly that shot is.
And there was a few times where he had all day to shoot a 3-pointer. I mean, he could have put a hitch in that shot 3 times and still would have, been able to pull off that 3-pointer. But I think a part of it is his teammates too, because like I feel like, I'm all for competition on the same team between two teammates, but I feel like the type of competition that Lonzo Ball, just from what I see on the court and Ingram, I feel like it's a bad competition.
Really?
I feel like Ingram wants to be the man. And Lonzo Ball just kind of rolls with it. I feel like Ingram passes up a lot of times on Lonzo and passes it to someone else. You can see that on the floor. And there's a lot of times where Lonzo Ball is like, hey, am I taking the ball up the floor? And they don't pass it to him and someone else takes it up. So they don't even know who – they don't even want to endorse him as the main ball handler, and he should be.
He absolutely should be. That's the thing is I feel like early on he might just be in the wrong era. I mean, this is an era of three-point shooters, long-distance shooters, especially the position that he plays – where he's more of a floor general distributor type of player that if you had to get him shoot, maybe a mid-range jumper here and there. But he is definitely a pass-first, shoot-second guy because he sees the floor so well, because he can, do some penetration and dish and the other things that he does. And I'm with you. I think that he's playing timid right now, but he's out of place right now because he doesn't have a shot.
I don't think there's nobody there to endorse him. I don't know that much about Luke, but
his
I just feel like he's
hurting.
A very passive dude.
I've said this. I said this before he even made his first appearance in the NBA, and that is guys are going to be gunning for him. Chris Paul wanted to post his ass up last night, take it right to him. Harden wanted to do the same thing, tried to cross him over about 4 times, leave him in his dust, score on him. He's taking that, which is not a good thing to have to overcome in your rookie season. Plus, you factor in the fact that he has an ugly shot that can't be fixed till after the season's over. Because you start tinkering with it now, trying to get him to change his mechanics.
But
now,
do you even want to tinker with it?
It's just going to get even worse. Yeah, because I gave you guys 2 examples when we started talking about him when he was coming out. Jason Kidd, Gary Payton. They both came into the league without jump shots. But after their first year, they got with Tim Gergovich, one of the premier assistant coaches in all of basketball for years, and he reconstructed both of their shots to where they created jump shots, so much so that Jason Kidd is in the top 5 all time and made 3s now. But it takes a full 4 to 6 months to really start from scratch and try, because you know what your muscle memory is. You know when you shot the hook shot from half court, from the side of your head. You know, your body knows one way to do it when you've been doing it through repetition for so long. It's a process to try and reconstruct it. But there's no doubt, too, that aside from wanting to take it to him, and we talked to Corey Brewer about this before the season started, and he knew that it was coming, too, and everybody's talked about it since. People want to see this guy fail, and if they don't, they want to kick his ass because of his dad. It's unfortunate because, like you said, he's kind of a timid kid. He doesn't seem like he really wants the spotlight, although he is trying to. He has a rap career too, and I don't think he's named himself Lil Windex, but he has a single out. But overall, I feel bad for the kid because he's got so many things going against him that people want to see him fail, all because of his father, not him.
And now you got his teammate. Who is it? The Kuzma or the Kuzma?
Kyle Kuzma right now
like
is
NBA.
Leading all rookies, player of the month,
yep.
Rookie of the month.
I mean, he's a good player. He's a really good player. And he's just making Lonzo look ball right now. I think he only had 2 points against the Rockets last night.
Yeah.
But that's a really good player. I hate to say it. I kind of like the team. There's a lot of young players on there.
I said it to Lisa last night. I'm not sure all the pieces fit. But as a young
Clarkson,
roster of
Kuzma,
talent.
Lonzo Ball, Brett Ingram. It's not a bad squad.
Larry Nance Jr.
on paper.
Can fly out of the gym, and he can play the athletic power forward position. The problem is, Nick, is you got 2 of the same player. I think Kuzma and Larry Nance Jr. are exactly the same player to where you might want to look at moving one of those guys. But, like you were saying, too, about who brings the ball up, the thing that Luke Walton's got to get a better handle on, Julius Randle, when he comes into the game, he wants to bring the ball up. He's your power forward. You can't have that.
Yeah. They don't endorse him as the main ball handler, and I think it starts there. I don't know why I know Luke Walton sees that. I don't know how he doesn't. But he doesn't. They don't endorse him as the main ball handler, and a lot of times he doesn't even know if he's going to bring the ball up. So.
And Barry, to your question, according to both ESPN and TMZ, they haven't said that where LiAngelo could end up going. But for the time being, LeVar Ball has told Jeff Goodman of ESPN he's pulled his son out of UCLA to bring him home.
As the world turns.
And I don't know if sanctions, if he goes somewhere else, do those sanctions roll over to wherever he goes?
I would.
Because he'd also probably have to sit out a year. Because
Well, when you transfer, yeah, you would have to. So that's a good question.
So
maybe he tried to get in there and
manipulate the system
and make UCLA do something. They said no, and they wouldn't back off. So he's, well, I'll take him out. And UCLA said, do what you got
to
do.
And you know, he's a coach killer. He killed the high school coach. He said that his players weren't being used.
He tried to
UCLA.
Talk trash about Luke Walton, who handled it brilliantly.
Yep.
He said, hey, you know what? I mean, he's done a great job as a father. You know, Lonzo Ball is very respectful. He's a good kid. He's, you know, the teammates like him, this, that, and the other. He's got an opinion, and that's fine. We just don't pay attention to what family members say about the Lakers.
Yeah, because I think LeVar handled said, it you got to be tougher and harder on my kid.
Handled it perfectly.
Yeah. All right, so we've got two in the books, one to go. 1 hour left of the big show. If you want to join us, please do, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can also text, or you can hit us up on Twitter, and we're going to be here till 4 o'clock. So we're here for another hour before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. But right now I want to tell you about the good people at American Wheel and Tire. I've been telling you about them for quite a while now because they're friends of mine. Mike and Tammy Gust have operated and owned the company for over 15 years. And they want you to come back again and again. They want you to trust them and know that they're not going to try and screw you over. They're going to do quality work, only get you what you need, whether it be a repair or replacement for wheels or tires or anything else you need for your vehicle. For that matter, they have lift kits. They have Kevlar wraps. They have coating for your car, off-road accessories for your SUV or your truck. And they do it all right in an immaculate showroom with a comfortable waiting room in which a big window goes right out into the bays so you can see exactly the work being done to your car, and your actual technician will come back and forth to communicate to you what they're doing and why and what you need as opposed to what you could do if you wanted to make those changes without having to charge you for something that you didn't want or need on your vehicle. It's just how they do business. And if you want to, you can check out all the great ways that they have pimped out some great rides in the Houston area on AmericanWheelAndTire.com, where they have really added rims, tires, and all the different things I was mentioning to you on a variety of vehicles and make them look unique, different, and one of a kind. It's just the way they do business. They try and make you look good at a low price and only get you what you need in terms of wheels, tires, and so much more. So check them out. They're located at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, where, as I said, you can check them at AmericanWheelAndTire.com.